Most people remain oblivious to the obvious. They do not realize that the Christian Jesus Christ is not only a misnomer, but a caricature. And they have created this caricature and misnomer as an object to worship. It's the hardest thing of all to resolve for a Christian. They have been brought up to this idea. They call themselves Christian as in Christ, and therefore they think that they are in a religion that is associated with an individual known to them as Jesus Christ. That's why they call themselves Christian. But there was no Jesus Christ. No one anywhere within a million miles of that name ever existed. No Jesus Christ. I mean, not even remotely, not under any tortured analysis. There is no Jesus Christ. And so here you have billions of people who apply a name and designation to themselves that's bogus. But it's worse than just the fact there was no Jesus Christ. No one named Jesus lived in the first century of the Common Era. Christ is most certainly not a name, much less a last name. There was an actual individual that arrived not on Christmas, but on Sukkah in what we would consider 2 BCE, who was holy Torah observant, completely anti-religious, who, for all practical purposes, walked out of the pages of the Torah to affirm the Torah, and to observe the Torah, and to fulfill and enable the Torah's promises regarding the covenant in year 4000 Yah, 33 CE, on the Roman Catholic pagan calendar. But his name was Yahusha, and his name tells you everything that you would need to know about him. He is Yahweh, saving, a combination of Yahweh and salvation, Yasha in Hebrew, Yahusha. And he was the Messiah, even though the title Messiah doesn't appear anywhere as a title in the Torah, Prophets, or Psalms. So even the fixation on a title like this is silly, since there is no title Messiah anywhere in the Torah, Prophets, or Psalms. Even in the passages in Daniel, which speak of his arrival and talk about his arrival, Yahusha's arrival, in the heart of the land, in Jerusalem, in Yisrael, and the specific date that he would arrive, over 500 years before that occurred, and then his being cut off, but not for himself, for the purpose of reconciling mankind. Even that depiction is a adjective. And the adjective Messiah, as it's depicted in the Masoretic, we don't have extant amongst the Dead Sea Scrolls that particular section of Daniel. In that case, it's not HaMashiach, the Messiah. It is Messiah used as a modifier, as an adjective, for a word that communicates messenger. And the modification to messenger is that this particular messenger would be set apart and prepared to deliver the message. And so there's not even a title Messiah, much less Christ, which is a Greek word based on chrysos, which means to apply drugs. And, of course, the first use of Jesus was with a J, and it was in the 17th century. And the us ending was just to try to create a name that was applicable to Greek grammar and gender rules. There's nothing, absolutely nothing right about Jesus Christ. But beyond the name, beyond the title, being completely erroneous. And, you know, it's rather important. This happens to be a designation that Yahweh, the creator God of the universe, God's one and only name, used to depict his involvement in fulfilling, honoring the promises he had made regarding his covenant. That's a rather important name, rather important distinction. And the religion that claims to be based upon him is completely clueless, has a complete myth and misnomer. But it's far worse than that, because the Christian Jesus Christ is a caricature. By a caricature, what I mean is it's an invented persona. It's an invented persona that bears no resemblance whatsoever to the actual individual. He's depicted as a Roman. He is depicted as a man in pure white flowing gowns. He's depicted as genteel with thin fingers and delicate limbs. He's depicted as a man. He's depicted as loving everyone. He's mostly depicted as a baby in his mother's arms, totally unable to care for himself. He's depicted affixed to a pagan cross, unable to free himself, controlled by man. There was no cross in terms of the Christian depiction of a cross. It's an upright pole. There was no cross. God was not born. God can't be born. God did not die. God cannot die. The depiction of the Christian Jesus Christ is drawn mostly from Dionysus. Easter week is from the Dionysian celebration. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Dionysus. Dionysus was the son of God, Zeus. Dionysus was a dying and resurrected deity. Almost every aspect of the Greek mythology associated with Dionysus, which is the same as the Egyptian mythology associated with Isis, Osiris, that combination, which is the same as the mythology associated with the Roman Bacchus, which is the same mythology associated with the Babylonian Tammuz, all the same, which is based on Nimrod and Ninus, the sun. It's a caricature. And then Paul would say that he was the totality of God, which is utter and complete nonsense and absolute and wholesale conflict with what he said and what reason dictates. Everything about him is convoluted, is recast by Paul. And really, if you want to know the truth, the Jesus Christ of Pauline Christianity is Paul. He's the one that completed the suffering. He's the one that came up with the plan. You know, according to Paul, God's plan failed. According to Paul, his Jesus Christ was inadequate in terms of the sacrifice, and that Paul completed the sacrifice, and that Paul conceived the plan of salvation. And so that all reality, the Pauline Jesus Christ is Paul. But I say, remember Paul, that's all he wants to tell you. Now those are words that Christians can't even process, that there's no Jesus Christ, but it's a fact. That their indoctrination regarding Jesus Christ is a caricature with almost no association with the real individual. The real individual was not
born.
A child was given to us on Sukkah, not Christmas. That child only became a diminished manifestation of Yahweh with the arrival of the set-apart spirit. God did not, was not born. God did not die. I mean, read the Christian New Testament. He said that the spirit of God, the set-apart spirit, departed before his body served as the Passover lamb. Only the physical body died, and the soul went on to Sheol. Read the eyewitness accounts provided 1,000 years in advance in Psalm 22 and 88, and 700 years in advance in Yeshaya 53. His soul, which is really this the determinator of life and death, didn't die. It went into Sheol on Matzah to resolve our flaws, to make us perfect in God's eyes. And there was no bodily resurrection. Read again the eyewitness accounts in the Christian New Testament. No one recognized it. It's because what happened is his soul and the set-apart spirit were reunited, and as E equals MC squared, they were able to, at any moment, transition from energy, spirit-based, to matter, physical, corporeal, and go in between the two, as we one day will be able to do. Every aspect of the Christian Jesus Christ is phony. The real Yahusha was Torah observant. He was anti-religious. His every word indeed affirmed the Torah. He was judgmental as all get out. He wasn't kind. He was vicious towards those who were promoting religion, those who were advancing political agendas. And he didn't even receive questions well. When people would come to him and ask him to do something, he said, "Oh, come on. Why are you asking me to do this?" And if you read almost every one of the accounts of his encounters with large numbers of people, he couldn't wait to slip away. We'll be back. But yesterday in our program, we focused on a letter written by a woman that's still in the throes of coming out of Christianity. I think she has made the jump from Christianity, but is still wrestling with how do you, you know, throw off all of this stuff that has, you know, that had such influence over your life. And that's why we spent so much time on her letter yesterday. But it is the very concept of Christianity, where the God dies to absolve mankind of sin, and your focus on this man-God dying is a caricature. It bears absolutely no resemblance to what occurred. Now, that's why the religion of Christianity is so perplexing to recognize that it's been so widely accepted, because it is so obviously untrue. You know, yesterday afternoon for about an hour and a half, I had the opportunity to talk to the woman who wrote the letter that we covered yesterday on this program on the phone. Her husband has been a good friend of mine for a lot of years, has gone from being a publicist to a movie producer. And one of the things that we talked about is her statement that her primary reaction to all of this, and, you know, she was really into Christianity, was how foolish she feels. I mean, it's just so obvious that Paul is lying. It's so obvious that the Christian caricature of Jesus Christ is wrong. Christmas and Easter and the Trinity and Sunday worship and Jesus and Christ and Lord and God being born and God dying and it's just so obvious that Paul was wrong. And we even talked about the idea that, you know, why is it that people believe that a man who wrote that God's plan was inept and cannot save, and that he had been chosen by God to conceive and to promote a plan that could save, why would we believe such a man? And she says, you know, it's just so obvious that the primary premise of Paul's letters is false. She says, I feel like what an idiot I was to have read this and to have taught it, when it's just so obviously untrue. And we've all gone through that. I mean, I went through that. That was my first reaction of, oh my God, was I stupid? And then the next reaction for both of us is anger at all of those in Christendom, particularly the pastors and the publishers who continue to promote the lies. And they know they're not true. But there's money in it. There's influence in it. And this frustration, anger at them for being deceiving. And I think it helps explain, oh, and it's a wonderful conversation, by the way, and we're even talking about trying to write a movie that expresses the discovery aspects of coming to know Yahweh and coming to know the truth and walking away from the Pauline Christian lies and this caricature in a modern setting. And so it'll be an interesting project to work together on. But when you look at Yahusha in this context and realize the reason that he kept on asking people, you know, why, what does he want me to do, and why? And then why he, every time he had the chance to walk away from these crowds, he did so. It tells you so very much about his nature. People would ask him to, you know, fix an arm, fix a leg, fix their skin, you know, whatever it might be, fix an eye. And he says, why? And then he'd say, the only reason I'm doing this is that this is mundane. This has no lasting value. But I want you to recognize, if I can do this, maybe I ought to listen to what I have to say about resolving the issues of your soul. And then when asked questions, he would almost always say, why are you asking me that? And he would say that because the answer is given. Yahweh provides every answer we need in his Torah. The Torah is complete, lacking nothing. And so it is this caricature of a man-made God, God made in the image of Dionysus, that we find heralded by Paul and embraced by Christians, a false God. And we're going to see what God has to say about that when we return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. But God is asking us to question Paul, and that's what Shaul means, to question him, regarding the construct that Paul and his inspiration, Satan, created. And he's asking humanity this question because it's so obviously a fraud. It's so obviously a caricature of a pagan god. It's so obviously that he is teaching lies and misleading people. I mean, it's so obvious, folks. I mean, you look at Paul's letters and you compare what Paul said to other things that Paul said, internal contradiction, and then you compare what Paul said to what Yahweh said in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and it is absolutely unequivocal, undeniable that Paul was a liar, that he's a complete and total buffoon who should not be trusted and should be wholly rejected. And it's not even close. I mean, you've got to have religion bad. I mean, you really have to be thoughtless to accept Paul. And I say that as someone who, for years of my life, promoted his disgusting diatribe. So I've been there and been fooled by him. But man, once you open your eyes, once you at least position yourself in a position where you're willing to actually consider the possibility that Yahweh might have been right about him in Chabaok 1 and 2. That Yosha might have been right about him in the Sermon on the Mount and the Olivet Discourse. Once you open your mind to the possibility that Paul might be a complete fraud, it's obvious. And so that's what God is saying here. How does he succeed with a caricature? Why does he benefit by valuing an idolatrous image he has shaped? Indeed, he will construct him. He's going to shape him, fashioning him, devising him by offering a veiled form of a pagan god, by offering an alliance, an association which conceals, which hides, covering up the true identity. And by teaching lies through deception, misleading, useless instruction, guidance, and direction. So that he adds credence and partiality to the one who created the construct of him. For him to make the shepherds bound and mute. Whoa. Wow. But here is God telling us explicitly that after naming Paul by name, calling him Shaul, which was his given name, telling us when he would arrive, who he would speak to, what his personality flaws would be, what his principal argument was going to be, what strategy he would deploy, who would speak out against him. After providing all of that information about Paul, he says, now how in the world, and humanity, he's asking you this. Are you listening? God is saying, how do you allow him to succeed with a caricature? You know, his presentation of Jesus Christ is so erroneous. It's erroneous in name. It's erroneous in title. It's erroneous in nature. Do you know that Paul never once quotes him? Claims to represent him and never once quotes him. Never once says anything that he may have learned from him. Depicts his one and only meeting with him differently all three times that he conveys it. When he attributes a quote to him, the quote he attributes to him is actually a quote that is the most famous line in the most famous play about Dionysus. It's difficult to kick against the goat. And his whole concept of this imaginary caricature was constructed at a time that the real Yahusha was known. So how does he succeed with a caricature? Because the world wanted the caricature. Because the world has always had an affinity for false religion, for mythology. It has been something that has harassed and plagued mankind for a better part of 6,000 years now. Myths are always popular. Lies are preferred to the truth. They wanted the lie. The Greeks loved Dionysus. The Romans loved Bacchus. That's how he succeeded with the caricature. Then God says, yeah, indeed, surely. He will construct him. He's going to shape him. He did that. And even Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson has to be brilliant to have done this, because the tools that he had to work with are so inferior to what we have today. But Thomas Jefferson had a book that was Yosha's words only. And he removed everything else from it. And then he wrote to a friend that the reason he had done that was that he recognized that Paul was the first to corrupt what he had to say and who he was. And that he led a orchestra, a band, if you will, of others who followed in his footsteps, corrupting, creating a caricature of who Yahshua was and is. Thomas Jefferson did that. Indeed, he will construct him, fashioning him, devising him by offering a veiled form of a pagan god. Tells us exactly what Paul was going to do. You know, it's bad enough that Pauline doctrine in Christianity is based on salvation through faith in the gospel of grace, and the graces are the Roman gratia, which are the Greek charities, and that they were naked pagan goddesses of frivolity and licentiousness. That's bad enough. But the worst part of Christianity is that the Jesus Christ of Christianity is based on Dionysus. All of the holidays, all of the trimmings, almost every aspect of the Christian Jesus Christ is Dionysian. It's a veiled form of a pagan god. It's a pagan god by a different name. Now, the only way you can do this and get away with it is to combine your veiled form of a pagan god and caricature by teaching lies. And that's what this says. Yirah Sheker. Through deceptive, misleading, mistaken, and useless instruction, guidance, and direction. Now, this was written in the Hifelstim, where the subject, Shaul, is putting the lies into action while the participle is a verbal adjective making Paul himself the deceiver. So that he adds credence and partiality. So that he makes credible and believable, even preferable. So that believers stumble and the unsuspecting fall as a result of their penchant and fondness and partiality to the one who created a construct of him. Who is the one that created the construct of Jesus Christ, the caricature based on a pagan god? Paul. Why did Paul do it? Because he wanted people to believe him. He wanted partiality. He wanted to be considered preferable. I mean, his whole argument in his letters is that he's preferable over the disciples. His tone, but I, Paul, say, the implication is what I say is preferable to what God has said. And this notion that there is salvation through faith in the gospel of grace and Paul's way, Paul's gospel, the whole notion of that flies in the face of what Yahshua actually said and did. Paul was Torah adverse. Yahshua was Torah observant. They're opposites. And so what this is saying is what I have shared with you. That the caricature was created to give credibility to Paul. That in fact, the caricature is modeled after Paul. The Christian Jesus Christ is really Paul. In fact, I'd go one step further. Paul's persona was shaped, was goaded by Satan. The Christian Jesus Christ is satanic. I know those are difficult words for someone who is still a Christian to process. In fact, maybe impossible for them to process. But just as Dionysus is a demonic myth, the Jesus Christ of Christianity that was modeled after him is the same. Just as Paul admitted to being demon-possessed, the God he inspired was shaped by Satan. There we go, folks. Yahweh told us this 666 years before Paul wrote his first letter. Now, while examining Paul's writings caused me to come to the same conclusion. I would never be so blunt as to share my conclusion if it was not also affirmed by Yahweh. Yes, using evidence and reason, logic, I was able to come to the same conclusion. But when you see Yahweh say it so explicitly, so clearly, then it goes from being a conclusion in which I have some level of confidence in, to telling you this is the absolute truth. Because Yahweh cannot lie. God is asking us, how does he succeed with a caricature? Indeed, he will construct him, fashioning him, by offering a veiled form of a pagan god, and by teaching lies, so that he adds credence and partiality to the one who created the construct of him. Wow. Folks, there are very few predictions, prophecies, more relevant than this one. The end of this, after Yahweh tells us that Paul, and he names him by name, so there's no question he's talking about Paul, that Paul will create a caricature. The Christian Jesus Christ is a caricature. That he indeed will construct him, that he will fashion him by offering a veiled form of a pagan god. And it is Dionysus that the Christian Jesus Christ is modeled after. That he will teach lies. He will do so through deceptive, misleading, and mistaken instruction. It's the totality of Paul's letters. So that he adds credence and partiality to the one that created the construct of him. God is saying, I want you to think. I mean, this is not difficult to process. What does he mean? He says that he is doing all this to add credibility, to add partiality, to add favor and preferability and believability to the one that created that construct. Well, who created the construct? Paul. So who is Paul trying to create credence for and believability to and preferability to? This says it. Not the caricature, but to the one who created the caricature. Who created the caricature? Paul. In other words, God is telling us that everything Paul wrote, everything he had to say, every deception, every caricature, every misrepresentation, every but I, Paul, say, every word of every letter was conceived to elevate Paul over Yahweh, over the prophets, over Yahusha, over the disciples, to make Paul believable, to make Paul preferable. And if you look at Paul's letters, every bit of that is obvious. Paul is constantly at war with Yahweh, demeaning Yahweh. He's constantly at war with the Torah, demeaning the Torah. Constantly at war with the prophets by misquoting them. Constantly at war with Yahusha by misrepresenting him. Constantly at battle with the disciples by demeaning them, negating them, condemning them. Paul is trying to make himself out to be important. Every word of his letters affirm this. It's obvious, folks, and God has made it emphatic. But there was something else that Paul did, because Satan would not have engaged and possessed Paul and empowered him to simply make Paul important. Ha-Satan doesn't give two hoots about Paul. Why did Ha-Satan, the adversary, possess Paul and inspire him to do this? To moot the shepherds. To bound and mute the shepherds. You know, it's interesting that Yahusha's last discussion with the rock, the very person that this prophetic testimony tells us will expose and condemn Paul, the Shimon Kephish. Kephish means rock. That in that, and Yahusha is the rock of our salvation. He's the cornerstone. In that, Yahusha is constantly telling Shimon Kephish, the disciple known as Peter, that this man is going to try to bind you. He's going to tie you. He's going to gird you. He's going to do everything he can to restrain you from sharing the truth. And that's exactly what Paul did. In fact, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he condemns Shimon Kefesh. Goes to war against him. Satan wants to mute the message of Yahweh. Wants to mute the message of the Torah, of its covenant, of Yosha being Torah observant, of Yosha honoring and observing and of participating in Pesach, Matzah, Bekudim, and Shavuah. Of Yosha being Yahweh in diminished corporeal form, set apart from him. He wants to moot the message that God has consistently conveyed from in the beginning. That's the purpose of all this. To bound the shepherds so that they can't lead and nurture and feed and protect the sheep. To mute the people such as myself that would tell you the truth. Because if you can come up with your handy little, oh, that must be satanic, you must be demonic, you're a heretic, then through character assassination, you've muted the messenger for those who are believers in the lie. No prophecy ever uttered is important as this one. We'll rejoin with you tomorrow.